You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn to Colossians 3, third chapter. We'll start there and see where we wind up. I used to say, we'll jump off that diving board and pray there's water in the pool. Hallelujah. Sometimes you feel that way, you know, in our type churches, we kind of flow in the Holy Ghost, and a lot of times I change messages, or God changes messages when I stand up here, and so, you know, it's faith. Hallelujah. Colossians, this is good stuff. Stir yourself, amen? Shake yourself. Realize you have a purpose. There's a reason for you being here. There's a reason for you being saved. You know, you have gifts. You've got talents. You've got callings. You have something you can give, something you can share. If you have anything, it's for the purpose of sharing it. Amen. There's someone out there that needs what you have. Now, I know you don't have everything, but that's why you need everybody else. But you have something someone else doesn't have. And it'll stagnate just like a pool of water if it doesn't have an outlet, if it doesn't flow. It just stagnates and gets sour and smells and draws mosquitoes and everything else. But if you have a flow, an outflow, flowing water is always fresher water. It's clearer water. It's cleaner water. It's moving all the time. And the law, of course, the principle is give and it shall be given unto you. You cannot give out without it coming back to you. So really, if you want to be fulfilled or complete, you have to give to complete yourself. I have to, because I'll never mature, I'll never go past where I am until I give out, because I can't increase until I give. If I don't pray for people, I don't get prayers. If I don't love people, I don't get love. You know, it's basic, you know, giving 101, sowing and reaping. Colossians 3, found it? Colossians 3 in the 12th verse says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering." Everybody say, put on.
Put on.
You know, I've taught this before. It is a put-on. A lot of people say, well, you know, man, I feel like I'd just be putting on if I did that. Well, it is. It's a put-on. You put it on. That went over real big. Yeah, but I don't see. It wouldn't be genuine. It wouldn't be true if I started, you know, loving people. Well, no, you put it on. It is a big put-on. Okay. But there's a difference here. There's a difference in just acting in the world and in acting the Word.
Amen. Right.
Elizabeth just graduated from acting school Friday night. And, you know, and acts and does, you know, plays parts. But, you know, after she does her part and plays her parts, whatever those parts are and whatever movies or plays or theater productions or whatever they are, she goes back to Liz. She's acting, and she returns back to who she is. But now, God's Word's not that way. This is what's so good about this. You start loving people. You start reaching out to people when you don't feel like it. You put it on because God says to put it on. You wear it. Sometimes it doesn't fit that well. But these are the kind of clothes you grow into.
Amen. That's good.
Not out of. You grow into them. Most clothes we have, we grow out of, don't we? In fact, you know, you start wearing clothes that you wore when you were several years younger, it doesn't wear well. Yeah. That's a message in itself. We're as Christians trying to wear things that we wore when we were 20, 30 years ago, it doesn't wear well. Okay? It doesn't fit you now. So put on what God tells you to put on. But the good news, here's the point I'll make, is when you put this on and you act out love when you don't feel love and you act out kindness when you don't feel kind, you don't go back to being who you were when the play's over. You actually turn into what you act out. Woohoo! Man. I mean, that's like a powerful suit of clothes. It turns you into another man. It's like Superman coming out with a new suit. Goes into, you know, the telephone, you know, booth and comes out with a whole new suit. And you know, the clothes make the man. You heard that. Well, in one sense, these clothes do make us.
Yes. Amen.
These clothes of kindness, these clothes of humility, these clothes of tender mercy, these clothes of meekness and long-suffering. And he's not talking about all that concerning you. He's talking about you putting that on concerning others.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
I can be real patient with myself. It's not a problem. The challenge is being patient with everybody else. Amen? You know, I was sharing something with Pastor Jan and Debbie the other night. We were talking. I don't know. I was sharing something. I said, well, you know, I preached on this the other day. I don't have it working in my life, but I was preaching on it the other day. And I don't have it down for me, but I really know what it's about. Are you with me? Okay. There are no football games today. I don't know what y'all are, you know, just hanging here with me. Long-suffering, meekness. 13th verse, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do.
Amen.
Wow. So, actually, Jesus forgave me so I could forgive others. Isn't that right? I mean, you know, he didn't just forgive me to forgive me. He forgave me so I can forgive others. He didn't just heal me to heal me. Yes, he did. Yes, he loves me. Yes, he wanted me healed. But he didn't just heal me so I could be healed. He healed me so I could go heal others.
Amen.
I mean, you can never take others out of the equation. If you ever do that, then you're just like the guy that just got a fish but doesn't know how to fish. And God cares more about us than that. He cares too much about us to just forgive our sins and leave it at that. He cares too much about us to just heal us and leave it at that. No, He wants to forgive us so we can be forgivers.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
Isn't that right? And so we ought to be thinking, thank God you got saved. Thank God you got forgiven. Thank God I got help. Thank God I got healed. Hallelujah. Thank God in the time of need He's there. But you know, I don't want to stay there. It's kind of like going in the first grade. That's okay. We all have to start in the first grade. But you don't want to stay in the first grade. I mean, if you're 20 years old and still in the first grade, something's wrong. And we're glad you're in school and hanging there with it. But I mean, you're not a dropout, and that's good. That's a plus. I'm trying to think of something good here to say, but you kind of need to go on to the second grade. Isn't that right? And so as Christians, I tell you when we start maturing, this is so good. You know, we get saved, we're saved. Hallelujah. We get born again. Man, we're just happy to be here. Amen. But if you really want to mature, you start sharing what you have, reaching out to us, praying with us, getting in church. You know what makes a church work is people that work. I mean, that's pure and simple. Well, there's a lot of people involved in this church. I was thinking of Angel Food yesterday. We had our Angel Food pickup yesterday. Everybody came and picked up food yesterday. It was cold yesterday. But, you know, everybody showed up and, you know, Vicky came out and sat in the car. She always greets the people as they come in, gives them a little form there and the line as they come in. And of course, she's out there all by herself, usually. You know, Fran's with her. Fran comes sometimes. She couldn't make it yesterday. But we had her little table set up over there, and she was sitting in her car. When people pull up, she'd get out of her car, go up and hand and go back and sit back down, you know. And we had the tables all lined out. And, I mean, people are so faithful to come and help. And I know I'll miss some people. You know, Wanda and Whitney were there, and Dr. Galloway. And, of course, Ted picks up all that stuff. Ryan was there, and Marty and Jane, Mari. And Lori came, and did I miss anybody? Okay. Oh, yes. Goodness, Tommy and June were there. A lot of people were there to help. That's why it works, because people are helping, you know. And it's just such a blessing to give out and to be a part of something that's helping people and blessing people. There's no greater pleasure in your life than when you help other people. I mean, you know, that first person you ever led to the Lord, think about it. Oh, my goodness. Man, I'm telling you, that's just over the top. Leading somebody to Jesus, that's just, how does it get any better than that? I mean, besides being saved myself, that's the best thing that happens, is telling someone about the Lord. We saw a movie last night, Fireproof. It was the same people that made Facing the Giants. It's a Christian movie with Kirk Cameron. And it really boils down to fireproofing your marriage, is what it boiled down to. They were having trouble. And, of course, subsequently, through the film, he turns his life over to God. And then he begins to act it out. I mean, he's acting it out. Just day by day, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing in a marriage when he doesn't feel like doing it. And he's making them say things, making himself say things, making himself do things. And it's amazing what happens. The transformation that happens in his life because he committed to what he knew was right, even when he didn't feel like it was right. He started doing the right thing concerning others, and he became that person. If I could recommend a movie, go see that movie. Facing the Giants, go see that movie if you hadn't seen it. Go see this fireproof. Of course, he turned his life over to the Lord, and his marriage came back together. And just a wonderful story, but it was just such a message. The whole movie was a message. You could see his attitude changing. It was hard. He pushed himself to do the right thing concerning his wife when he didn't feel like it. Because we hear that a lot. I don't feel like. I don't feel love. I don't feel like loving people. I just don't want to mess with anybody. You know, I'd be okay pastoring if I didn't have to deal with people. It's not the preaching, the teaching, the studying. It's you guys. It's the people. You know, you hear people say that, you know, and you think, well, my goodness, people's what it's all about. It's what we're about. And kindness is no good for you. Kindness is for others. Woo. Hallelujah. You know I love you. I'm just not feeling it, Pastor. But anyway. See, what God intended was not a temporary fix. That's not what he intended. He didn't intend for us just to get a need met. He intended to make something out of us and still intends to make something out of us. He wants to conform us to the image of Jesus. Amen? To be like him. He loves us so we can love others. He comforts us so we can comfort others. He forgives us so we can forgive others. He helps us so we can help others. He blesses us so we can bless others. He completes us so we can complete others. And in essence, really, we're completed by completing others. That's kind of a process. The more I reach out to others, the more I complete myself. You know, in raising children, the whole point is to raise them. Amen? That's the whole point. You raise children to raise them. Are you out there? Okay. You don't want to leave them there, down there where they are.
No, sir.
You get down there with them as best you can. And you gaga and goo-goo with them at one stage. Hello. And you talk funny. Need an interpretation. You know, you go into tongues raising children when they're a little bitty. Ooh, gaga, ooh, baby, baby, wants a wah-wah. You know, you do. I mean, you just lose all sense of elocution. And articulation, enunciation, and all that. It's gone. You're raising it. But as a child, you don't goo-goo and gaga with a 12-year-old. And the grunts don't work anymore when they're 5 and 6 and starting to talk. Grunting and pointing. No, you want them to say. See, you're trying to get them to come up. Isn't that right? And you're raising them. And actually, you're raising them to be like you. Maybe not specifically like you, maybe not the gifts necessarily that you have, they have different gifts, but to mature them where they'll be responsible people. Amen? You teach them to share, you teach them all these kinds of things, but the point is you don't want to leave them where you are, where they are. Sure, you want to help them while that you can and while they need it, but you want them to get responsible as they grow. And Christianity is that way. Sure, God takes us. We're born into the kingdom. We're just babes in Christ. But he wants to raise us up. You know what? He wants to raise us up to be like him. Isn't that good? We're conformed to his image. He came down to us absolutely because we couldn't get to him. We're too low. He's too high. But he didn't come down to us to stay down here with us. Jesus came down here to bring us up to where he is. Not that we'd be God, we're not God, I understand that, but to mature us, to be sons and daughters of God, hallelujah,
yes.
Part of the family of God. And God is a giver, and God is a lover, and God is a blesser, and God is patient, and God is kind, and God is merciful, and God is all these things.
Amen.
Now, it's kind of like cooking something, you know? If you just stay there at the need level, where we just get our needs met. And we'll always have needs that we're going to have to call on God to help us with. But we take that help and we share it with others. But if we stay there at the need level and we don't share what we have with others, then we're not completed yet. We're not done. We're still half-baked. That'd be a good message.
Yeah.
Title, half-baked or well done. I want to be well done, good and certain, faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I want to be completed, cooked, Amen? Amen. A lot of us are kind of raw. Getting quiet in this church. Is this International Outreach Church is so quiet in here. Goodness. Hallelujah. Let me read this out of the Message Translation. You'll like this. The Message Translation of these 12, 13, 14 verses of Colossians says, "So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you." Amen. That's good, isn't it? "Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense." Yeah. "Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you." Amen. Isn't that good? Yeah. Wow. "And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it." I love that. It always fits. It wears well. Amen. It looks good on you when you put love on. It's what you were called to do. Not just to receive, but also to give. We have a responsibility. We have an obligation to return this that God gave to us. To share this that God gave us to share. We ought to. We ought to. That's the words the Bible uses in many cases. Ought not we? Ought we not to do, even as Christ did this, we do this. And really it's just a sign of maturity. Without others in your life, you don't mature. In fact, really, you complete me. Oh, that's sweet. I wasn't really talking about Pastor Jan, but I was talking about the rest of y'all. No, we complete each other. We complete each other. Without everybody else, I'm not complete. Because for one thing, I don't have an outlet. I don't have anything to share. I don't have a way to help. If we all stay in our little cubicles, as it were, in office work, they have cubicles, or stay in our little homes and never get out, we're like the blind leading the blind. We both fall in the ditch. At some point, somebody with something's got to get out of the cubicle, get out there and lead. And the Bible says we who see ought to lead those who don't see. And of course, we who are saved ought to lead those who are not saved into salvation. And we who have been delivered ought to help deliver those that are in a mess, in a trial. We that are strong ought to support the weak. And on, 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 on. That's part of our calling. That's part of maturity. That's growing up. That's becoming well done.
Yes.
Amen.
That's cooking.
That's cooking.
Amen. That's cooking instead of just staying out there out of the oven. Let's get in the oven. Let's get to cooking.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's good.
We're Christians. That's how we roll. Okay? We love others and help others and bless others. Jesus said this. He said, "Freely you receive, freely give." Have you ever received anything freely from God? Oh my goodness, how could you count all the things that God's given you? Well, freely give it. He said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give." He also said, "To whom much is given, much is required." I feel a compelling on my life to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I feel an unction to get out revelation. Because I get a lot of revelation. I've gifted in that. That's my gift. That's what God... I can read Bible, the verse, they just jump at me, and my mind just starts working. I start seeing things. And you know what I'm thinking the whole time? How can I share that? How can I minister that? How can I communicate that? My prayer is to get this in you. It's not to get it out. It's to get it in.
Amen.
It's to connect with you.
Because
if your life doesn't change, well, I'm just putting out information. See, it is about sharing it. It's about reproducing it. And we got something to share.
Yes. Yes.
We got something to say. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Good.
Turn with me to 1 John. Hallelujah.
That's good stuff.
Thank you, Jesus. 1 John. Now, you know John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." King James Version. 1 John 3:16 says this, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren."
There it is.
Wow. Isn't that good? That's interesting. John 3:16 tells us God's part. 1 John 3:16 tells us our part. John 3:16, gives us the standard, shows us God has the moral authority to ask us to do this, okay? Because He's done it.
Yeah.
You know, moral authority is when you're asking someone to do something that you've already done, that you live this way, and you're not asking someone to do something that you haven't done or are not doing. You have what we call moral authority. You know, I heard a story one time in a book by, I think it was Andy Stanley, wrote a book. I think it was Communicating for a Change, I believe is the name of the book. No, Visioneering. It was Visioneering. Read several books by Andy Stanley. And he wrote that he was in college one time, and it was an amazing, him or one of his friends in college, and it was a lecture, debate type speech class, and the professor let the students pick any subject they wanted to and get up and give a speech on it, why they believed what this cause or whatever the case may be. And then the rest of the students could rebuttal or they could, you know, argue and so on and so forth. And this one, he was so honored by this and proud. This Andy Stan was talking about this one lady that got up. And one young lady got up and said she wanted to talk about against abortion. And, of course, this is just a college. I mean, you're going to have people that are just really are pro-abortion, people against abortion, and, you know, people that are for killing kids and for people that are for saving kids' lives. Let's put it pure and simple. And she got up and she said, I'm against abortion in every case. And then she even went for the clincher. She said, I'm against abortion even in the case of rape. Because there's still a child involved there. And he said you could hear the murmuring in the class waiting for her to get through because they wanted to rebut this, you know. And she kept talking about even in the case of rape, there's still, if there's a life involved there, it's still life. And when she got through, right before she closed out, she said, now this is a picture of Tommy, we'll say. And she said, this is my child. And she said, I was raped. And this is my child. I had this baby. He's 7 years old now. And he's a wonderful young man. And God has blessed me with him. And she went through that whole thing and stopped and sat down and nobody asked a question. Because there is no argument there. When you're looking at someone who has moral authority. Someone that is living what they're saying. You put it in practical terms. You put it with a person. There really is no argument. Hello. So that's a wild, extreme case, but I mean, thank God for that case. But we as Christians, if we live this stuff, that's the strongest argument we can have and share in our faith. Yeah. There is no stronger argument than a changed life. There's no stronger argument than you really loving people. And you really reaching out to people and being merciful to people. We talk about it, yes, but we walk it, and that's what gives it power. That's what gives it strength. The problem with Jesus was not all that he taught. It was how he lived. He lived what he taught. He actually healed blind people, and they couldn't argue with it. There's a blind man right there that could see. And there was no argument there. He raised the dead, healed the leper, forgave the sinner. He lived a life of forgiveness. Woo! I didn't mean for this to be so gushy and sloppy, okay? I didn't mean... Didn't mean to be a tearjerker, but sometimes we need that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so 16th verse, 3rd chapter, 1 John. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. Get involved in the greatest cause in the world, the cause of Christ. I mean, get involved, whether that's in church, whether it's helping in church or outreaches or sharing, you know, the love of Christ with your neighbor, or your friend, or the people you work with, or, you know, just praying for the ministry, working in the nursery. Come on, singing in the, doing something. You know, let's don't just come to church. And I know I'm preaching to the choir and we don't even have a choir. But it bears repeating. I mean, this is to be shared. This is to be, it's to be reproduced. Amen?
Yes, sir.
1 John 4. While you're there in 1 John, hallelujah. 1 John 4, in the 7th verse, and these are familiar verses. Some of these you know by heart, but we used to sing songs. In fact, we used to sing this song when I first got saved back in 1975. That's when I turned my life over to the Lord. We used to sing this song, "Beloved, let us love one another." Y'all remember that song?
Yeah.
"Beloved, let us love one another." In fact, we'd sing the song, we'd stop and go, "Okay, everybody get up and go hug a neck, shake a hand, let's sing it. Beloved, let us love one another." And we'd go around and hug and shake and greet, you know, and remember those days? Yeah. Tommy's going. We really did that. We really did do that. Does anybody remember that? Please help me. Okay, good. See, I have moral authority. I've done that, and they have too. So, but anyway, beloved, I won't sing it to you. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Wow. "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now listen to this 11th verse. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another."
Yes.
Isn't that true? And to not do that is to miss the whole point. To not do that is to have fish for supper and that's it, but never learn how to fish. To not do that is to be on the entry level. Yes, we're there, we got in, but never really mature. To not do that is just to be kind of half-baked, raw, uncooked. But if you want to be fulfilled, because there's nothing more fulfilling than helping others. I am in my life, and there's so much more I could do and could have done and can do. And I'm not regretting, I'm not beating myself over the head. I mean, there's so many more opportunities I could have taken and so many more things I could have done. But I've done some things, and the things that I have done for Jesus have fulfilled me.
Amen.
They have given me purpose. They have given me a sense of contentment in the sense that I have peace. I know there's more. I'm hungry for more. I want more. It's a divine discontent. I've got peace now because I know that God's pleased with all the good I have done, but I'm hungry to do more. I realize there's more I could have done. But I'm never more fulfilled than when I help others.
That's right.
Never. Never. There's never a mission trip I go on. There's never anywhere I go minister. There's never anyone I help financially or bless. There's never anyone I pray for or minister to. Never, ever do I ever do that I don't get completed. I don't get fulfilled.
Right.
You know, I remember June, Tommy and Melissa have been helping June and ministering to her for a long time, for months. And those seeds were planted And, of course, everybody reached out and blessed June. But one day, she was moving, and was it Ken and, who was it?
Ken
and Ted and Ryan went over and helped her move. Just a sweet thing, a nice, kind act to help her move. She'd been hearing the Word. She'd been coming to church. Tom and Melissa been ministered to him. But that kind of sealed the deal. Isn't that right, June? You think she talks about that when she saw that act, just a little thing like helping her move. She'd been hearing the Word, hearing preaching, and they've been helping her. Everybody's been doing it. But see, little by little, those things build. They build. And that turned her. That's when she decided, I've got to. And of course, all of it built up to that. It wasn't that one thing. But that was the one more thing that did it. And she decided to accept Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And many of you were here when she came down front and gave her life over to Jesus, and wow. Man. I mean, was it Ken and Ryan and Ted? Well, no, it's Tom, Melissa, and Ken and Ryan and Ted, and you and me and all of us praying and everybody. But see, all the life was lived, and that put meaning to the message. Ken, Ted, and Ryan still talk about that. I just can you believe that? That's so neat. So that just that they had a part in that, you know, just that one thing. Love and deed, amen? Not just in word. Hey, let me close this out. Y'all couldn't stand this much abuse if I kept going. We'd be completely wrung out by the time the service is over. I like this. This is a pretty good saying. "The man who lives by himself and for himself is apt to be corrupted by the company he keeps." Charity begins at home and then it dies for lack of outdoor exercise. Here's a good note. This is a famous prayer, classic prayer. I want to end up with this. You know, Jesus said, or the Bible says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You and I have a debt to pay. Not to be saved. No, no, no. But I owe a debt. I have a debt of gratitude. I have a debt of responsibility. I have a debt of obligation. He has saved me. He's saved me. He's washed me in His blood. He's healed me. He's been my friend. He has helped me at the lowest parts of my life. He has delivered me out of impossible situations. He has been there for me to call on. He has been so faithful.
Yes, sir.
He's been so true. He's been so consistent. I owe a debt. I ought to be that way.
Yes.
God, help me be that way. Help me be that way. When I don't, I ask God, I feel bad. I feel terrible. I need to repent and ask God to forgive me because I am a Jesus person. So are you.
Yes. That's right.
The world needs us.
We
are a light that needs to be shining out there in the world. Wills Point needs this church. Wills Point needs churches. It needs all these churches. Wills Point needs you and Elmo and Frog and parts beyond. Amen?
Amen.
This is a classic prayer, prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. You'll recognize this. He died in 1226 A.D., so it's an old prayer, you know, over 100 years old. He said, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Wow, what a powerful prayer. See, I mean, the end result's there. You said, don't I need to be healed? Yes, you do. And the more you heal others, the more you're healed. For it is in giving that you receive. So if you'll make others your business, God will make you His business.
Amen.
Amen. And like I said earlier, the golden rule could be said this way, do unto others as if you were the others. Because every time I help you, I'm just helping myself.
Amen.
Every time I complete you, I'm just completing myself. And that's the way God designed it. Amen. So let's don't be half-baked.
That's right.
Let's be well done.
Amen.